No. It's still not working. No, it's still not working. Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben Lawrence. Am I right? Is 6 o'clock the right time?
Yeah. No, you're on point.
Good. Good. And the music fades. Or maybe not. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm very excited because with me, as always, is my friend and companion and what would you say?
What else are you going to call me?
Long distance relationship? Ben Lawrence.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Hey, Ben. It's going okay. And as we all know, this is the first episode of the show within the show.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe
entitled,
we'll keep it going.
Yeah, Ben and Paul get it wrong. And I know that in the theme song I say Ben and Paul got it wrong, but there you go. That's just par for the course. I think one other wrong thing is just fine. Little bit of background story, just in case people don't know. At one point in time, I was talking to Ben about the fact that people such as myself, think that we know everything now because Google is just one step away, and if we don't know something, we can simply look it up.
Indeed.
And then we're like, oh yeah, and as soon as we look it up, we think that we knew it all the time. We will correct people about things that we've never even known about. The instant that we read it, all of a sudden everybody else becomes a big dummy. And no other time was this illustrated more to me than at the last episode of the podcast that Ben and I, have been doing for a while now, the
episode,
Goody Lawrence podcast, where we
episode
just
26,
talk about stuff.
If you want to listen,
episode 26 of that, where I referred to an Olympic trampolinist as Ding Dong, and then I switched it to Dang Dong, and it turns
Your wife corrected you.
Hey, look, I didn't want to bring her into it. The responsibility was with me. I did not do any due diligence. But eventually we found out it is in fact Dong Dong.
Yeah, and like you said, so you texted me later after we recorded saying it was Dong Dong. And I, what I had done after we recorded is I looked up, I wanted to find, way of all, I didn't even know that Olympic trampolining was a thing because I don't watch the Olympics.
And also the gender of Dong Dong, whether Dong Dong was a man or a woman.
I didn't really care about whether or not Dong Dong was a man or woman.
What I didn't know.
What I was doing,
I guess what I'm saying.
What I was doing was just basically searching for this person to look at Olympic trampolining to see what it is. And I saw posted from the 2012 Olympics a Dong Dong who was, I believe, a coach as well. And I just assumed it was a different person. And not that we had made a mistake.
Yes.
And perhaps that says more about me.
I have seen footage of Dong Dong in action. And let me tell you, amazing. If you have not seen Dong Dong trampolining, I recommend you look it up. Because it's something to behold. I mean, I'm serious, too. You look at it, and you're like, that's a human. Humans can do that.
We don't need to dwell too much on our past mistakes. Let's start dwelling on our future mistakes.
Future mistakes. All right. So here's the basic idea. I have asked people that I know and strangers to send questions to our email address. And Ben, go ahead and give the people that email address.
Ben's email@yahoo.com @gmail.com.
And if that's confusing, it's because we wanted it to be. But you can visit the page and you can find out exactly how to write that so that it's correct.
Or you can listen to the Goody Lawrence podcast episode 2 where we came up with it.
Yes.
Anyway.
And the idea now is that there are going to be questions there. Ben, have you seen the questions?
I have seen Some questions come in, but I have not read them.
Okay. Because here's the thing. Ben and I are not going to be using Google. We're just going to be using the brains and learning that we have.
And there,
we're going to try to
thereby answer exploiting our ignorance.
Yes. But here's the deal. We can't say I don't know. We have to give an answer.
Hey, here's a question for you.
Oh, no.
We got to make something up.
What's 2 plus 2?
2 plus 2 is 4. See, sometimes we'll get it right.
It's like
Betty.
It's like one of those bluffing games that you that are NPR shows.
Yes, yes, something like that. We will try to give the correct answer because that's one of the other things I was going to say. I work with people who, hey, I'm serious now. Get out.
Okay.
I love you.
Okay.
All right. So, she's going to mark this down as the day it happened. But now
the day where
Ben,
you became stern.
Stern. Yes, I was stern this time. It was only because she said no. All right. So you can probably hear that.
Discipline.
All right. So here's the basic thing. We're going to do it to the best of our ability. Just like I said, the people at work that I have no indication that they actually don't know what they're talking about until later when I find out that they didn't know. We're going to try that.
Are you asking them questions about work, your work process? Like, how do you do this kind of thing? Are you asking these coworkers? You keep referencing your coworkers as examples.
Oh, no,
are
no,
you
no.
Asking
it's
them
even,
about,
it's even
like,
worse than that. I'm not asking them questions oftentimes. I'll be in a meeting with somebody else, and someone will come in and go, well, you know, actually, that should be this. I'm like, oh, okay, and I write that down. And then somebody will say, who told you that should be this? And they said, this guy said that. And then it'll turn out, I'll ask the guy how he knows about that, where his, you know, stuff. And he's like, I don't know. That's just the way I figured it would be done. So they didn't know. They were just making it up. But they said it with authority.
It's all about confidence.
Right, exactly. And so that's what we're going to try to do here. Maybe the answers we give will be funny. Maybe they'll be correct. But that's where you, the listener, come in. When we are done with this podcast and we post it, if you have anything to say about what we said, if you want to tell us how we were wrong or ask follow-up questions and all that, write it to that same email address. And this whole podcast will write itself, basically. It will become a generative thing.
Don't know how much it will write itself. But you can email us. I'll put the email address in the show notes. Ben's email at yahoo.com @gmail.com. And if this concept takes off and we do it for longer than, say, 1 or 2 episodes, maybe we might change the email address to make it easier.
To make it less confusing. But I love it. I love the email address, Ben. I think it was a funny idea.
It was all about making sure people couldn't email us.
Yes, exactly. And now we actually want people to.
Well,
it's more difficult.
Well, I'll make up my mind on that depending on the kind of responses we get, if we get any
at all. All right. So we are now 8 minutes into the podcast already.
Sorry,
let's get cracking. Question number one, Ben.
Hang on. I have to do some housekeeping here. I forget that when I record the show, when I'm at my house,
we're at your house today.
We're at my house, and I have to turn off the alert volume. There we go. Okay, that way when I get emails, it doesn't go ding on the
Email.
Okay, so we have questions, and all of these questions come from your aforementioned wife, which I'm not supposed to mention anymore, apparently.
Wait, all of the questions are from my wife?
Yes. Your wife is the only one who sent questions, but she sent, like, I don't know, 5.
Oh, yeah, that should be enough. Well, thank you to my wife for sending the questions. And those of you who I also asked to send questions... go screw, you jerks. All right. Hit me with question number one, Ben.
I think people just didn't understand what we were going for, but if they listen to this, then maybe they'll get a larger clue and they'll know what to do. You gotta teach your audience.
We're setting the tone.
You have to teach your audience how to behave. Okay, so question number one.
Have to be carefully taught. Question number one.
What is the infield fly rule? Now, I kind of know what this is, but Paul, I want to hear your take on it.
Okay, well, as we all know, we're talking about baseball.
Correct.
And there are two teams in baseball, and they switch for being, I guess you could say, offense and defense. They're the people who are at bat. That is the offense. And then the people who are in the field are the defense people.
And funny...
they switch.
Funny little baseball trivia here. Baseball is the only sport in which the offense does not touch the ball. Only the defense touches the ball.
Well, the offense can touch the ball, but if they do, they get what's known as an out.
This applies to cricket as well, I believe.
Exactly.
I might be wrong about that. Ball. I have no idea.
They can hit the ball with the bat.
They didn't touch it, though. They hit it with the bat.
That's right. It depends. If you consider... What I'm saying is if you consider the bat an extension of the arm, much like a swordsman would think of their sword as an extension of their body, or their ki, if you will, then
stop trying to degrade my little bit of trivia, Paul Goody. Keep going on with your answer.
All right. It was good trivia, and I appreciate it, Ben. So, here's the deal. The infield fly rule?
Correct.
I believe that the outfield is where the people, you know, normally catch fly balls, you know, balls that are in the air, air balls, as they're called.
You can call them fly balls. It's okay.
But here's the thing. If a fly ball goes, if it goes out, if a ball goes out of the stadium, nobody catches it. That is considered a home run, unless it's a foul ball, right? If it's a foul ball, then it doesn't count as a strike.
I'm gonna stop you here, and
okay.
I know it's probably for an attempt to kill time, so to speak. I don't think we need to describe every aspect of baseball here.
No. I'm describing the parts of baseball that I know. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So in the outfield, you know, if there's a fly ball, you can catch it and the person comes out. If you're in the infield, that works as well. And therefore, the rule is that if you catch a ball when it's in the infield, the person is out. And also, you can still put the ball into play and get them out at a base if you throw it to them.
So, the way I understand
here, it. Yes. Also, I want to point out, I'm really telegraphing my ignorance in this. I need to sound more confident than I actually do at this point.
The way I understand it is this. If there are runners on base and a ball is hit and it's hit, it's an infield fly, which means it doesn't break the plane of the infield. The hitter is automatically called out. And this is to keep the infield, the players, from either intentionally dropping the ball or letting the ball drop in an attempt to get a double play or to get other base runners out. So if the infield fly rule is called, runners have to go back to their base and the hitter is automatically out.
Oh, you know what, Ben? I think you're right because I've seen this before. It starts going, right? And everybody's running and all that. And then there's a whistle or whatever. And everyone just kind of walks back.
Yeah, it's
right. Runners, they don't have to. They don't have to make it back like they do.
Right, runners normally,
if a runner's like tagged out at first.
Yeah, runners normally take a number of steps lead off the base, and so if the infield fly rule is not in effect, then they will, you know, they have to tag up. But it's possible that the infielders will catch the ball and pretend to drop it, or pretend like they're going to catch it and just let it fall to the ground, fooling the base runners and getting more outs than necessary. Or, you know.
Oh, man, these guys sound like jerks, Ben.
Well, I've never played professional ball. I don't know how big of a jerks they are, so I'm sure some are decent.
You're basically calling professional baseball players liars, Ben.
You are. You know what? There are. Baseball players can be tricky. So here's another thing. So let's say. Let's say there's a runner on first, and they're taking a lead off of base, right? So they're taking two or three steps towards second, like they're going to steal. The pitcher wheels around and throws the ball to first base. The runner goes back to first base, like dives back to first. The first baseman catches the ball, tags him. He's safe. It's okay. The runner can then stand up. And the first baseman will pretend to throw the ball back to the pitcher, but will keep it.
Oh,
he won't throw it.
Yes.
The first baseman, the runner on first, will step off of first base. The first baseman tags him. Runner is out. That is a legit play.
That is so. That I've seen that in a play before, in like an instant replay kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was at a baseball stadium, but maybe it was just, hey, these are some great things that happen at baseball. Did they do that? Do they just show?
Yeah, they show things like that at baseball.
Yeah. That must have been it, because I saw that and it was great. I loved it. I'm not mad at the sneaky, rascally baseball players. In fact, that's my favorite, I think.
All right, so listeners, if we got anything right or if we got anything wrong describing the infield fly rule, I feel kind of silly if I got it wrong.
Let's do this. Baseball. Let's do our final answer, because you and I together are a team. I'm going to defer to you on this, Ben. I'm going to say final answer, and let me phrase it, and you tell me if I'm right. The infield fly rule is that if it doesn't break the plane of the infield, then the ball, the person who hit it is automatically out, and everybody has to go back to their base.
Correct. The base runners are safe, but the batter is out.
I think we got that one right.
I think we did get that one.
Yeah, so vote it. So vote it. Got it right or got it wrong?
All right.
And let us know.
Okay, that's the infield fly rule. Moving on to question number two from your lovely wife.
Question number two.
Number two.
Yes.
What is a Saxon and how does it become Anglo? What is a Saxon and how does it become Anglo?
Okay, I'm going to say that we're talking about Great Britain, which is a country or landmass. We're talking about the landmass where Great Britain is now, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that the Anglos and the Saxons are two different ethnic groups. And if I remember correctly, there's a thing with the language between the Anglos and the Saxons that the Saxon words were much more basic. They described like all of the harsh words that we have, like the C word and the F word and all those words, all have a Saxon base to them. And also like tree and house and things like that. Whereas the Anglo words are the more like flowery, high concept words. And so how a Saxon becomes Anglo, I don't know if they necessarily do. I think Anglo-Saxon became a thing when the two ethnic groups got together and started having babies. That's going to be my take on it.
All right. My take on it is less involved with language than yours. I'm going to say that the a Saxon becomes Anglo when a Saxon becomes Anglo when it's in a certain area of Great Britain. I don't think it has to do with how language is influenced. But I'm going to say
you think it's a geographical.
I think it's a geographical thing. I think. Pilgrims from Saxony when they go to the Anglo section of Great Britain, that's how you get Anglo-Saxons.
Well, let me ask you a question though. Why aren't they just a visitor? Why aren't they just an immigrant? And they retain their Saxon roots. But they're
because at that time where you lived is who you were, and I am here showing my ignorance because I have no earthly idea how a Saxon becomes Anglo. So I'm making this out of whole cloth.
So your idea is that, well, now here's, I guess this is a question. Let's talk about this first.
I think of it in terms of regions, like Saxon is a larger region. Anglo-Saxon is so Anglo is a region of Saxony.
So you're thinking that Saxony is a large land or a large geographical area, and Anglo
was
is
at
a,
one point
is a or was at one point, and Anglo is a section of that.
Yeah,
like how a Floridian is. From the Florida section of. Wait, you know what you're basically describing, Ben?
What am I describing?
You're basically describing, like, African American, Asian American. Like what you're saying is that
I
an Anglo-Saxon.
I hadn't thought of it in that way, because it's all Western European.
Is someone from. But it's exactly. That's exactly the same, and maybe it is, but what you're describing basically
you are putting those words into my mouth. I am not.
You're saying though that we're all Saxons, but this guy is an Anglo-Saxon.
I think, yeah, man. I think
what
it's
it
when,
sounds like to me.
I think it's when
you could be right.
It's
you
very
could
regional.
Be right. I don't know.
I do want to look this up, man. after we're done to find
we
out.
We might be split on this one. I don't know because I mean, I'm huge into the language portion of this simply because I know that little tidbit, and I'm thinking that it's possible that my wife was the one who told me, which is unfair in this case, but it's also doubly unfair or doubly bad then if I get it wrong, even though she told
me. Reiterate your language aspect. It's that the Saxon words are more flowery and Anglo words are more
simple.
Other
way around. Other
way,
Anglo
words
are
simple.
Words are more
Saxon words are more poetic.
But here's the thing. See, I think this might be a trap because she's talked to me about this in the past. It might be a trap to see if I've listened to her and retained the knowledge that she gave me. And the answer is no. Because I remember that I got it half right when I was talking to her. Maybe not even half right, but that, like, maybe it's the French and the Saxons, or... But no, I really do think, because I know the Saxons were their own group, and I think the Anglos were their own group also.
Yeah.
But maybe they aren't contemporaries. Maybe this is her point. Maybe the Saxons became Anglo-Saxons through a process, you know what I mean? Like, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a time delinear thing that they started out as. I think that's exactly what it is. I think we might be half right, both of us.
All right,
you start out as a Saxon, and then maybe it's not so much that it's a different part of Saxony, but like maybe the Saxons got taken over by the Anglos and they became Anglo-Saxons.
So I'm gonna start a new thing here, and I'm gonna start scoring us based on our confidence of our answer. And so
oh, okay.
I think we yeah. get We get 1 point if we are fully confident in our answer.
Yeah.
Half point if, like you just said, we are half confident and we think we're both, you know, both of us have part of it right. And 0 mm-hmm. points if both of us are just BSing and we have no idea.
Okay, so this is our self-score, and then other people will call us out on our self-score.
So we have 1 point for infill flare rule and half point for how does Saxon become Anglo.
That is correct. I think that is good.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
All right, number three, how long should you wait for sunscreen to take effect? And how should you reapply? And how often should you reapply? How long should you wait for sunscreen to take effect? And how often should you reapply?
Okay. This one, I am... this is a one. I'm completely confident in this. Answer is never. And never. The answer is you do not go outside and you never put sunscreen on. Final answer.
That's your final answer, is it? All right.
Yeah.
Is this some
and
sort
she
of
knows
conspiracy?
About this. I think this is why she's asking me, because I it's gross. I hate it. I don't like the way it smells. I don't like the way it feels on me.
All right.
Why even go outside? But however, that is not the answer that she wants. I think what she's asking, if I can read into it a little bit, is not what do I think, but what is the recommendation.
So here, let me give you what I think is the recommendation.
Yeah.
Sunscreen. How soon does it take effect? Immediately. You don't have to wait for it to set. Once you put it on, it's working. How often should you reapply is up to the strength of the sunscreen that you put on and whether or not you got into the water.
And what type of sunscreen, I guess, would also factor in that? Because some of it is waterproof.
Yeah. Some of it. I've heard that like waterproof sunscreen is BS. But like if you've ever tried to wash sunscreen off of your hands, you know that stuff stays on pretty good.
I think there's one called like Water Babies or something that is made
something like that
to go into the water.
It's a good idea, regardless of whether or not it's waterproof. That if you were like in a pool or you were in a lake or the ocean or water, whatever, you should reapply once you get out.
Can I go off topic for just a second? Are you familiar with Coppertone?
The brand, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When I was a kid, there was a. I might have talked about this on the podcast before, but I don't think so. I might have. Maybe in a very early episode. Coppertone had a logo. It was a dog that was biting off the bottom half of a girl's swimsuit.
Correct. They're quite famous
for
that, actually.
And it showed her tan line. It was a young child.
It was
like a toddler.
Yeah, she was like 5 or 6, and it did show her tan line, and it did show a little bit of ass crack as well.
Yes, and then someone rightfully probably said, "Hey, you know, this isn't cool. We're not showing naked children on our logo."
It is,
but what they decided to do was crazy.
Well, that also came out it came out in the 40s, I think. I think when that ad was
'30s
or 40s.
Still was like that in the 70s. I remember we had a bottle with it on there. I didn't think anything of it. I was a young child myself, and that just seemed to be a funny thing. And, it shows, you know, how it allows you to... And this is the thing, Coppertone, suntan oil. There was a time, Ben, when people wanted their skin to get damaged on purpose because they thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the way that they remade the logo is now the dog's just biting a child in the butt. That's what the logo is now.
I actually, you know what? I haven't seen the new logo. I only know the classic one.
It doesn't make any sense to me. It's if I didn't know any better, right? If I was just going off of the picture, I couldn't speak English and I didn't have this history of what the product is, I would think perhaps this makes animals attack you if you put it on.
Actually, you know what I would think? I would think that it would be animal repellent. And what they're showing you on the bottle is what will happen if you don't use their product.
You know what? I like it. Yeah.
Should have used copper tone. Too bad you got bit by a dog.
Otherwise,
hey,
this,
I got bit by a dog.
Jack
I
Russell
like
Terrier
it.
Is going to bite your diaper off.
Not a big fan of getting my diaper bit off by a Jack Russell Terrier. I'll tell you that right now. So, let me ask you this, Ben.
Yeah.
Are you willing to put a minute count on it or an hour count on it?
Like I said, it all depends on the strength of the sunscreen. Let's just go.
So your answer is
let's just
no.
go with SPF 5, which allows you to stay in the sun 5 times longer than if you were not wearing sunscreen.
Oh, is that how that works?
Before you get burned. So
is that what the numbers are? It's how much.
That is what the numbers are.
You're...
So if you are a really pale, pasty person like me, and you stand for 1 minute in the sunshine and you start getting sunburned, if I put on SPF 5, I can stand outside for 5 minutes before I get burned.
In which case you would then replace it 5 minutes after you put on the first.
You know, I don't get burned after a minute. It's more like an hour, right?
Okay, so you would then reapply after 5 hours.
Yes. If you don't get in the water. And I don't like swimming, so I'm not going to do that.
All right, I'm going to do, what do you think? For a full point or half point on that one?
I'm going to... Because
I'll go with your answer.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to give us 3/4 points because I'm rather confident in my answer, but not fully confident.
Okay.
All right.
And so maybe the way scoring works, Ben, I think this is the way scoring will work.
We're going to have to add fractions.
You take it away, right? If you're wrong, you take it away, right? So if you're wrong on that one, we'll get 0.25 points. So honesty means something, right? Except for the case of zero. If it's zero, we don't get any points at all.
Right.
Either way.
No negative.
If we get it wrong... If we say we don't know and it's a zero, we don't get any points. And if we get it wrong...
I thought the whole point of this was that we never say don't know.
Let me start. Right, exactly. That's what I mean. We can't... What I'm saying is we can't get a full point by saying we don't know.
Right.
And then getting it. So we you get the idea.
Yeah.
I think.
All right.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to look all this stuff up afterwards and score us? I know
sure.
you're a completist.
You know, I'll,
just, okay, yeah.
I can present
great.
Us a wrap-up afterwards, and,
that
and
sounds...
that'll be first thing next week.
First thing next week, yep, wrap-up, right. Okay.
Cool. All right, question... All right. What question are we on? Question 4.
Wait, question...
Jesus.
Yeah, question 4.
Hold on.
Yeah. Saxons?
Huh?
Wait, infield flight rule, Saxons.
Sunscreen.
SPF. Remember question 4. Okay, gotcha.
All right, this is a bit of a weird one. I'm not quite sure how serious she is. Question 4. If you are in a car traveling at an average of 75 miles an hour on the freeway, how long should you wait before you give in to the need to pee and just pull into a rest area?
Okay, so...
Is this another you question? Like, specific for you question?
Well, it could be. I have many different stories about peeing.
Yeah.
There was a time where I was traveling from Illinois to Spokane, Washington, in a car. And I... locked the keys in the car while the car was running so that I could pee. And then I just stood there watching my car slowly run out of gas in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess, you know, finally I decided that I had to break the window because I didn't want to get stuck out there. It was a bad choice, but, you know, I guess I'd have to do it.
Yeah.
I tried to, there were no rocks or vegetation. There was a chunk of asphalt that I tried to get off, but it was frozen to the ground. Oh, that was, it was freezing out.
Wait, were you just...
And finally, I'm sorry, one sec. Finally, what I decided to do was break the window, with this like ninja keychain I had on my spare set of car keys. And that's when I realized I had a spare set of car keys. And I just let myself in. So it was good that that asphalt was frozen. But that did happen.
That did happen. You wash your car, run out of gas for countless hours before realizing.
Not hours. Like maybe 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Yeah, but you know, freaking out, going, oh no, my car's running, and it's.
So
you know,
were you at a rest stop at this point, or were you just on the side of the road?
Oh no, I was just peeing on the side of the road.
Okay.
Yep. So the answer is, don't wait, just pee.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I think the 75 miles an hour on the freeway, average of 75 on the freeway, is a MacGuffin. It's a red herring.
Right, right. You think that we're going to gonna have some sort of a calculation we have to do, right?
Right.
If
you feel the urge,
times
pull over distance at the next rest stop. It is not healthy to hold it in.
Exactly.
It can do damage.
It can, and also, what if you get scared by like a bear or a moose or something,
or if you get into you get into an accident?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm giving us 1 point for that.
Yeah, that's a one pointer.
All right, and fifth and final question: where is Perth? Number five.
Perth is in Australia.
Yeah, it is in Australia.
Is there more to it? Like, we have to say where in Australia?
My knowledge of Australia.
Have you been to Australia ever?
I have been to Australia. So I know.
Okay.
I know the Cairn, where the slowly dying coral reefs are, is in northeast Australia. Sydney is in southeast Australia. And New Zealand's off the coast there. Well, it's off the coast, and so much as like St. Louis is off the coast of Seattle. You know, it's about the same distance. Melbourne, I think, is in south central Australia. I'm going to say Perth is northwest Australia. I don't know. I'm taking a guess.
Northwest Australia.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess this one has to be. Because if we just say Australia, that's a one right there. Northwest, 0.75. Would you say?
Yeah, 0.75. Because we got at least a half point for knowing it's in Australia. Another quarter point for
and
guessing.
I want to revisit
where it is.
Scoring really quick.
0.75. Okay. So three quarters.
So, the way I think it will work is if we say 100%, right? I think we've talked about it already, but I just want to like our overall score.
Yeah.
Right. We're gonna do more than five questions sometimes, I think, depending on how many questions we get.
Yeah.
So our overall score has to be based on percentage right. Right?
Like that an average of our questions. So we have five questions. So we have
an average score of the question.
We have a possible score of one of 0 through 5.
Yes. A possible score of 0 depending.
Possible score of a maximum possible score of 5 for five questions. Now,
8 for 8 questions, whatever whatever.
So we'll take if we have, you know, 2.5 for 5, then we got 50%, right?
Yeah.
So if we got, you know, 4 on an 8 questions, same score.
Right. Now, because here's the thing I'm concerned about. Well, no, we'll have to figure out. I mean, what we trend at, I suppose. Because here's this is where I'm getting at. If we do, let's say we I mean, it would behoove us, I guess, to vote for one for everything.
I think we're counting on ourselves being honest here.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about it for just a second. If we say 0.75.
Yeah.
Right? And we are correct.
Do we change that to a 1?
1 point? Or do we get 0.75 points?
Well, you said earlier that if we get something wrong, then we subtract points.
Yeah, but I thought about it, and maybe that's a little bit too confusing. How about this? This is what I would guess. This is what I think we should do. We have our confidence. We have two ratings, right?
Yeah.
We have our knowledge rating, right? How many did we get right?
Right.
Total, right? And then average that. So we got 80%, 70%, whatever.
Right.
And then we also get our confidence rating. And what our confidence rating should be, I think, is it goes like this. And this is exactly what we were talking about. If we guess, and if we say that we have one, you know, we believe this is a one, right? And we guess it wrong, right? We have 0 points.
Correct.
If we say 75 and we get it right, we get 75 points. If we get it wrong, we get 25 points.
Well, you're talking
five
about
five.
3/4 points and 1 1/4 points. But I see what you're saying.
And so if we do 50-50, right? And this is how I would say we score it. If we get over, and then we take the average of all those, right? We take the average of everything. Once we do it.
I think we're making this too complicated.
Wait.
I think we're making it way too complicated. I think I think it should just be binary.
The overall score thing.
I think
like
it should just
if we're
yes or no.
Like we know or we don't know?
Yeah, like we don't or we don't. Like we know or we don't know.
All right, let's go back through them then. Infield flight rule. That's a 1.
Yeah.
We know that one.
Anglo-Saxon.
Let's say 0. We don't know that
0.
One.
0. We don't know that one. Sunscreen. 1. We know that one.
Okay.
Rest area. 1. We know that one.
1. We know that one.
Perth.
I want to say 1 because we're right about it being Australia. If it's in Northwest, then we... Maybe that's it. When you score it, you give us a half point if we're...
if we got... Okay, just give us a 1 there. So that gives us 4 out of 5.
All right, so we're pretty confident 4 out of 5.
And for
there we go. We think we're gonna get. This is what we do. Okay, now I got it. That's right. If we think we're gonna get it right, we give it a 1. If we don't think we're gonna get it right, or we're not sure, either way,
right.
We give it a 0.
Right.
And then at the end, we figure out what our percentage we got right was versus what we thought we would get right.
So basically, if we got something wrong, we take a point away. If we got something right that we thought we got wrong, we add a point. And if we got something wrong that we thought we would get wrong, unchanged. If we got something right that we thought we would get right, unchanged. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, you lost me. Say it again.
All right. Infield fly rule. We thought we got that one right.
Yeah.
If we got it wrong, we take that point away. If we got it right, we don't do anything.
Okay.
How did the Saxons become Anglo? We thought we got that one wrong. If we did get it wrong, then no point changes. If we got it right, for whatever reason we got that right, we would add a point.
Okay.
And switch it from
no
to yes.
You're talking about this adjusting our overall score, like we're only having 1 score? or are we having two scores?
I think we should only have one score.
Okay, so let's break it down one more time. I think I got it, but I'm making sure. We are giving ourselves points if we make a lucky guess.
Correct.
If we thought we would get it wrong, but we got it right, that's a point.
Yeah.
If we thought we'd get it right, and we got it right, then we also get a point.
We don't get any more points. We just don't take away or add anything.
It sounds to me like what you're describing is, I mean, and bear with me here, but I think that what we, like how confident we are, isn't feeding into this at all. We're still scoring. If we get it right, we get a point.
Right.
If we get it
wrong,
we don't get a point.
The whole confidence in fractions of points, I think it will be just too confusing.
We're just going to drop that off.
Yeah.
We're going to see, because we're trying to be as confident as possible. Let's see how right we were. Yeah, and you know what? People will be able to tell. They'll listen to this. They'll be able to tell whether or not we feel confident about it just by listening to how we...
Right.
And that's something... Ooh, you know what? Here it is, Ben. Infield fly rule, confident. Anglo-Saxon, unconfident. Sunscreen, confident. Peeing, confident. Perth, unconfident. That's what I would say.
Okay.
And just because of... And then when you read it, you can say, we were pretty confident about this one, but it turns out we were wrong. We were unconfident about the, you know, that. There we go. So thanks for everyone for listening to us work that out. And you're welcome for not having fractions.
Yeah. All right.
And so the other thing is we don't necessarily have to be bound by the hour rule on this.
You want to go?
Well, no, I'm just saying... you know, we can answer. What I'm saying is I think we should try to clear out our inbox every time. If we can.
Clear out a...
You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. So it'll go as long as... It'll be as long as necessary.
Yeah, and unless we really have to call it because it's late.
It's not long enough.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
The theme song. Are we playing it at the beginning or what? Are we playing it... at the end, now, or...
The theme song is really long. I don't want to play the entire thing at the beginning of every show.
No. What I was thinking about, in fact, thank you if you listened through it at this point. What I'm thinking about is ending it, like playing it this one time. And then for every other thing, we just have it with Pen and... Paul got it wrong, like that.
Okay.
And I like the fact that the theme song is Ben and Paul got it wrong, but the podcast is Ben and Paul get it wrong, which is perfect. But it could be confusing. I don't know.
Send me. I know you sent me the whole song. Send me just that stinger.
Oh man, you have the editing software now. I don't have the editing software. Oh, you mean like redo it?
Yeah, redo it. Because
I'll tell you what,
you didn't start with Ben and Paul get it wrong. So if I try to edit that part out, it won't have a clean beginning.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna record the stinger right now.
No. Wait till later.
Yeah.
No.
Because I'm gonna have it on the good recorder.
All right, do it quickly.
All right. So everybody. This is, take one. Yeah, we'll do it. However many takes to get it right, Ben. I'm kidding.
I'm giving you two.
Ben and, oh, wait, hold on. Ben and Paul got it wrong. Wait, no, that's not right.
The creative process, ladies and gentlemen.
Nope. Dang it, Ben. I'm going to have to do it after. I don't know what I played anymore.
So here's
I know it's
here's how I want to hear it.
Forget about Google. What's that?
Yeah. So
about Google. It's time to look at your noodle and find all of the problems in your head. Ben and Paul got it wrong. Okay, there we go. Sorry, Ben. Ben and Paul got it wrong.
Oh, can you try? Can you try? Can you try one more and yeah. sing instead of emphasizing it? Can you go, Ben and Paul got it wrong?
Ben and Paul got it wrong. But let's have it be get it wrong.
Got it.
The thing.
Instead of got it, have got it. Ben and Paul got it wrong.
Do you want it to be got or get?
I don't care. Try do it both
ben
ways.
Ben and Paul get it wrong. Wait, hold on. Is that close?
Try.
Ben and Paul get it wrong.
Make get it no? one word.
Get it wrong like that?
No. Get it wrong.
Oh, make get and it one word.
Make get it one word.
Ben and Paul get it wrong. Was that closer?
No, try.
Do it again.
Ben and Paul get it wrong.
All right, one more time. Sit. Can you hear me playing?
Well, it sounds terrible from my point of view.
Okay.
Because I'm hearing it over the phone. Ben and Paul get it wrong.
Get it wrong. Ben and Paul get it wrong.
I want it to be faster. That's just pick it up. So
Ben and Paul get it wrong.
No, not you don't need to strum more.
Ben and Paul get it wrong.
Ben and Paul get it wrong.
Okay. I think I get it. Ben and wait, do it again. One more time.
Ben and Paul get it wrong.
Ben and Paul get it wrong.
No.
Is
it's
that
still
close?
Not working. No, it's still not working. Try it at home. We don't need to do this for the rest of the show.
No. But Ben, I think here's the thing. I think we need to do just like the excellent man thing at the end of BT and Dowdy's thing.
the one where you laugh and say it's still not working. I think that's the one that you got to cut out, and we use that one.
Oh Lord.
Or else, you know, just find the video and click on it. Hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
Oh, right. Now listen to her. One second.
Is she...
She can't be bothered.
Well, I guess that's too bad. It's time to end the show
well,
anyway.
Well, I guess that's it. I'll talk to you all later. Okay.
I'm here.
All right, so this is something I'm retaining from the original because I like it so much. And also, it's a good way to make up for kicking Betty out and telling her to get lost. It's questions for Betty.
What is it?
Okay, Ben, do you have a question for Betty or do you want me to ask a question for
you
Betty?
You ask one.
All right, Betty. What does the moon taste like?
Some sort of milk capsule-y thing, a potato chip or a mint.
All right. Some sort of milk capsule-y thing, a potato chip or a mint.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. You've named three different things.
Yeah.
What determines when the moon tastes like those things? Like, does it taste differently to different people? Does it taste like all three of those things at once?
How about this? When it's full, it tastes like a weird milk capsule-y thing. When it's a half moon, it tastes like a potato chip. And when it's only a crescent, it tastes like a mint.
There you go, folks. That's what the moon tastes like, according to Betty.
All right.
Thanks, Betty.
Okay, what other question do you have?
I think that was the only question.
Really?
Yep.
What?
Yep, that's it.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so until next time.
Oh my gosh, are you serious right now?
Yes, I am. Totally serious.
What?
Very serious.
Keep it wrong, everybody.
Keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong. I love it.
Don't you have any other questions?
No.
Why?
Haha, that's a question for another time.
Oh my gosh.
All right, you can cut it there probably. Now I got to figure out how to turn this thing off. Still the same.
I'll see you next week, Paul.
All right, see you, Ben.
All right, bye.
Bye.